welcome to the newest episode of Head Speaks, your home of all things geeky. I am your host, Aaron Brotherhead Moss. Let the show begin. Hey, dear listeners, let's get started with episode 75. This month, I don't have a segment for What's in Head's Long Box. I've been having some problems with my equipment. My son's puppy chewed through the power cord on my mixing board, and so it took me a while to get that straightened out. So I don't have another episode of Power of the Atom this month. We're going to put that off for a month. But this month, I'm going to play a special episode. The wife and I, as you may or may not know, we do a podcast called The Starbright Project and also Voyager's Cast, looking at some time travel shows. We were doing another podcast called Retrospect of the 80s, but just due to time frames, I wasn't able to edit that and get that out with all my other shows. So I decided to go ahead and slip those into episodes of Head Speaks for the time being. So this was a show that the wife and I was going to do, but we've recorded three episodes and I just don't have time to edit everything. So we kind of put that show on the back burner, and I decided for now I'm going to slip those episodes every once in a while into Head Speaks. So sit back and listen to Retrospect of the 80s, starring Brotherhead and Michelle Moss. Welcome to Retrospective of the 80s. First, a little bit about us. If you've been listening to any of my other shows, you know who I am. But if you don't, my name is Aaron Moss. My nickname is Brotherhead. I'm a big geek. I'm 50 years old. So in the 80s, in 1980, you see, December of 1980, I turned 10. And I was, 19 in December of 1989. So, yeah, I spent my entire teens in the 80s. That's, like I say, as far as I'm concerned, comic books, that's the golden age of comic books for me is from, 1985 until 1995 or so. So right in the middle to the end, through the end of the 80s. I love 80s music, rap from the early 80s, mid 80s. I'm just, if I could live in any time period, I would go back, probably back to the 80s. So let's hear about from Michelle real quick.
Well, as our kids like to say,
my middle was her beginning.
Yes, your middle is my beginning.
Real quick, I was born in 1969.
I was born in 1977. So in 1980, that puts me at what?
Three.
And you at what?
Ten.
So
that sounds like a big difference, but now that you're 42 and I'm 50, it's not quite so bad.
It's not so creepy.
It sounds bad. When I was married previously, I got married in 1992, and she was junior high or getting ready to go to high school.
Yeah. And your wife were at a music concert.
Yeah. We went to watch,
Crisscross
at the Fresno Fair in Fresno, California. And apparently she was there too.
I was a freshman in high school.
So, so I was having kids so I've gotten divorced, and then me and Michelle got married. And so, my kids would tell their friends, my mom's, such and such age. What's your dad, a pervert? What is he, hitting robbing the cradle? No, it's my stepmom. Oh, okay.
My recollection of the 80s is a little bit different, of course, from Mr. High School. But mine has to do with Strawberry Shortcake, Rainbow Bright. I also was the only granddaughter, though, of six grandsons out of that group, my family group, on my mom's side for the longest time. So whenever I described my childhood, it was Barbie dated He-Man, meaning I played with He-Man myself, and I played with Thundercats and Voltron and G.I. Joe and that kind of thing and Batman.
That's why I married her.
So I have a vast knowledge of comic books. Well, I say a vast knowledge, but I'm not nowhere near Mr. Brainiac over there. But I know a few things. But my love for Cabbage Patch Kids, The My Child doll. I don't even know if anybody else knows about that doll because it seems very unknown. I wasn't a huge My Little Pony, but I did have a few. And definitely the Cabbage Patch Kids and my movies like The Goonies and TV shows like Kids Incorporated. So
as we were talking, and like I said, I do 4/5 other shows, 4 other shows, and then I got my G.I. Joe, which has a secondary show, but still talk about G.I. Joe. So, but yeah, Michelle wanted to do something, and she, again, like we just talked about, she loves the 80s, I love the 80s, so we decided, you know, talk about the 80s from, you know, especially from the different perspective. Like, so I was in junior high and high school, she was in
grade school,
elementary school, and going into junior high at that time, so it's just a neat perspective. So we're going to talk about, on this show, we're going to talk about, well, anything 80s related. We're going to have top 5 lists, our top 5 toys, our top 5 TV shows for each of us. And we'll talk a little about them, compare, contrast, if you will. And then we'll just have review shows where we talk about whatever we feel like. One episode of G.I. Joe, an episode of My Little Pony, Barbie, whatever.
Oh, Barbie. How could I forget Barbie?
Whatever we happen to decide to talk about. TV shows, movies, music.
Barbie. How could I have forgotten Barbie? Yes, Barbie.
The entire decade of the 80s is open for grabs for us. Whatever we feel like talking about for a particular episode. Yes, Barbie. Like I say, as far as me, like I say, I'm in the 80s. Like I say, I was into rap music. I was a big fan of rap, break dancing, things like that. I've always been a superhero fan. I've watched, you know, the Super Friends cartoon and in the 70s, the Wonder Woman and the Hulk and Spider-Man TV shows and movies. I didn't get into actual comic books buying them until 87. When most guys are giving up comics for girls, I can realize, you know what? You're a good geek. Girls want nothing to do with you. To heck with it. Let's just read comic books. So, but I did get married, but oddly enough, yeah, twice, oddly enough. But yeah, so when most people are giving up the comic books, I'm actually was getting into them and started buying them and went full bore. And we'll talk about that at some point, I'm sure. And I've talked about that on my other shows.
Now, you were talking about 80s music?
Yep.
Oh, boy. So, you've got me, who 80s rap was pretty much all over the place, and the roller rinks. Now, I lived in my roller skates. I got my first pair of roller skates when I was 4. And you know, what was that TV show with Tootie? What was it called?
Oh, Facts of Life.
Facts of Life. I was the blonde hair, blue-eyed Tootie. I lived in my roller skates, and my mom always let me go to the roller rink. So here's this little blonde hair, blue-eyed girl singing Me So Horny round and round. And my mom said she didn't know whether to stop me or not because she wasn't sure if I understood what Me So Horny meant. But there I was, or push it, I'd be like, there's my jam. Just roller skating around, just singing these horrible Two Live Crews. I mean, they played some really gnarly stuff on the roller rink. But
for the record, I understood what they were about.
Yeah, well, I didn't, luckily.
Well, real quick, let me interject. This isn't 80s related, but it is. I remember one time at the Chowchilla Fair. Chowchilla is the town I come from. It's a small little cowtown.
Podunk.
Our fair, it's in May. Me and my buddy Dean was there one year. It was on a Saturday, I want to say, and it was really slow. Hardly went around, so we're on one of the rides where they play music. And my buddy had Two Live Crew, so he gave it to the guy running the ride. So he's playing, what's the one song by Two Live Crew? Not me, so yeah. Hey, we want some. Fill in the rest.
Kitty cat.
But yeah, so we've got, yeah, where it's a Saturday afternoon. Me and Dean, I think another buddy, which I forget now, was on this ride. They're playing this, going around and around. We're riding it several times. Song blaring out.
But as for music, if you want to define my childhood, I would say that leading into, and I think late 80s leading into my absolute worship. And I say worship as in worship of the New Kids on the Block. Like, still to, not worship still to this day, but I did take our daughter to see the concert that was here in Fresno recently. But
just a little perspective. In 87, she turned 10, and I was a year away from graduating high school.
Yeah.
I'm a dirty old man.
But my first tape I ever bought was the Beastie Boys. And when we start talking about music, I will definitely... I have a couple of stories that will definitely have to be mentioned about that. Because, yeah, this... We'll just say that they are quite interesting, to say the least. But there we go.
So, real quick, let me ask you, then I'll give you mine. What's your absolute favorite, let's say, toy from the 80s? What toy do you think for you represents the 80s? That's not necessarily your favorite toy, but what toy do you represents the 80s?
I have three.
Okay. And they are?
Strawberry Shortcake, my Cabbage Patch Kid doll, and a Peaches and Cream Barbie. And I own a Rainbow Bright still in the box. I own a Peaches and Cream still in the box. And I have a Strawberry Shortcake replica in the box. I still have a lot of Cabbage Patch Kids. I have like 20, 25 of them up in the attic or something like that crazy. But my first Cabbage Patch, really quick before you answer the question, I guess it was during that Cabbage Patch Kid craze. Mm-hmm. And
yep,
my grandmother actually went to go get one. And I guess she got it like JCPenney's or something crazy like that during that whole hoopla. And I carried that doll everywhere I went. And my grandfather, being who my grandfather is, was a relentless old man when it came to teasing. And I don't take well to teasing. I've got a very soft heart. And he, every time I walked in with that doll, he would say, "Oh, you brought that ugly thing in." And I'd be like, "Grandpa, she's not ugly." And he's like, "Oh, turn it away. I can't look at it." And I'd be like, "Grandpa, she's not ugly. Oh, my God." And he would cover his eyes or gag or... And he would do it to the point where I would be in tears.
Funny enough, I got that same reaction when I walked in the house. At home.
I carried that doll around so much that she ended up turning African-American because she was so dark. For me carrying her everywhere. And I still have her. And I have her boxed up. And I will never get rid of that doll. And her name is Erin Angelina. And I absolutely... That doll means more to me than anything. So, but yeah.
Very nice.
What about you?
So for me, the toys that represents the 80s, one of the major ones, and because it's still dear to my heart, would be G.I. Joe.
Of course.
Even though I didn't have them until the end of the 80s. That's still, I know they came out in the early 80s, and to me, that's one of the things that represents the 80s. And I also want to say Star Wars, because even though it came out originally in 77, I had most of the Star Wars toys from the first movie and the second movie, and to me, that was the early 80s was Star Wars, and the last part of the 80s was G.I. Joe.
Nice.
So what TV show do you think best represents the 80s?
Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster. Like, hands down, Punky Brewster.
I would say probably Knight Rider.
That's
and
on my
the
list.
A-Team, to me, would be the 80s TV shows. I mean, action-oriented. Because, again, I'm coming from a guy perspective.
Yeah.
Action-oriented, you know. It was just great shows. But, and...
Punky Power. Movie.
Movie. We'll let you go first. I'm sure you already got two or three.
Uh-huh. I'll give you the top two, but then I'll tell you what my favorite 80s movie is, because it's not... Mine's not going to be on that list, because it's not there. Goonies.
Great movie.
And Neverending Story.
I've seen it.
Okay. Now I'm going to tell you my story about Neverending Story. My mom banned me from ever going into the movie rental place... any movie rental place and renting that movie ever again, because every time we went in, she said I could pick a movie, I would make a beeline to go find that movie. And so when we pulled up into the parking lot, it was, "You may pick a movie, Michelle, but it cannot be Neverending Story." So what I would do to make myself feel better is I would go find the movie once I was in the store. And see if it was there. If it was there, I would move it to the back so no one else could rent it. And then go find a different movie. And of course, Goonies. I don't know if I said that already. So yep. Goonies and Neverending Story. But my favorite 80s movie of all time is Labyrinth. So.
And for me, the movie that represents the 80s, I would have to say between Goonies, Back to the Future, And there was one other I mentioned earlier when we were talking about this.
You said Ghostbusters. Oh, Ghostbusters.
Yes, Ghostbusters to me and Back to the Future. Back to the Future is a different movie. You don't want to see that one. No, Back to the Future.
I think you could find that one on Pornhub.
Yeah, probably. And like she said, Goonies are probably the three movies I would say represent the 80s, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they represent being on TV when you're flipping through the channels. And I come into the living room and there it is every time.
She's talking about Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Put it on Blu-ray. Took my daughter, went and watched it. They had it at the theater here. They played it. Great times. I think that's going to do it for this episode.
Sounds great.
But until next time, my name is Aaron.
My name's Michelle.
And this has been
Retrospect of the 80s.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Head Speaks. Join us next month when I return with Power of the Atom number 15, plus who knows what else may show up. Until next time, remember, Head has spoken. Thank you for listening to another fantastic episode of Head Speaks. Hope you enjoyed it. If so, let me know. Drop me an email to head@headspeaks.com or visit our home at head.headspeaks.com. You can also visit and talk with me on Facebook and Google+, both under Head Speaks. You can also send an MP3 file with your thoughts and I can play that on the air. And you can also get more of me on my other podcasts. Be sure to listen to Task Force X, where monthly I look at John Ostrander's Suicide Squad and Paul Kupperberg's Checkmate comics from the 80s and early 90s. Also, over on G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast, my podcasting friends Ryan Daly and Kyle Benning, along with myself, are looking at all of the G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero comics, and related titles from Marvel and IDW. All of my headcasts are available on iTunes and Stitcher, along with the respective blogs and my main page at headspeaks.com. All comments, thoughts, and opinions expressed on Head Speaks are owned wholly by the speaker of said comments and do not express the opinions of Head Speaks, unless, of course, I'm the one making the comments. Head Speaks, Task Force X, and G.I. Joe, Real American Headcast, are all part of the Headcast family. So join us next month for another wonderful episode of Head Speaks. Until then, I'll see you in the funny pages. Good night.